Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Why do we play games? Is it escape, connection, competition, or something deeper? Today, we're diving into games, both digital and analog, that have shaped us. Whether you're a console gamer, a tabletop strategist, or just here for the nostalgia, this one is for you. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Whitman, and I'm joined here today by my friend Liz. Do you want to say hi, Liz?
Hello.
Before we get started today, Liz, what have you been geeking out on lately?
Lately, let me see. I've said it before just because with little time, I've been watching Boruto in the background. So I started with all my like baking season. I started from Naruto episode one, did all the Shippuden, and now we're in Boruto because I never really finished the anime. So even if it's a little hard sometimes, I'm going to finish it.
As you should. I am a one trick pony, so I'm watching The Office again because that's what I do. Like, I watch Grey's Anatomy, then I watch The Office, then I go back to something else, then back to The Office. So it's The Office again for me, as
not
always.
Not bad.
Friends, if you're on a laptop, please consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser or Good Pods. And if you're listening on a phone, drop us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps people to find the show, which is what we always want. And special thanks to Russell Gentry for supporting the show. If you'd like a shout out just like this, you can join our supporters on Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon for just $3 a month. And as I always say, what else can you get for $3 a month? Access to wonderful people who have lots of things to say to you? $3. It's a great deal. So do it. All right. So let's hit start on today's main topic, our favorite video games and board games. So we picked this topic because we think that games are a big part of geek culture, often overlooked in deeper discussions. And I don't know about you, Liz, but I grew up with a video game controller in my hand from the time I was little, and our family was a big board game family. So every Friday night was board games, and then we'd have church board game parties, and the list goes on and on. Games shape how we think, how we build community, and even how we explore tough topics. So as we dive in today, what is your favorite video game?
Gosh, old school or currently?
Literally anything.
Okay.
Well, broad range, right? Like from your whole life. What is your
right? My
favorite?
Whole life. I'm just going to do currently because like the whole life is a lot. And then you have nostalgia factors playing in where you love crap games because it's nostalgic and not really good. So currently, which is really funny because I literally bought this game. I was studying for my licensing test to become like a licensed minister, and just all the, like the stress, I broke and bought it because I kept on watching TikToks about it. And it was one guy and I kept on watching him play Prop Hunt. And I'm not really that into shooters game. I used to play Gears of Wars back in the day and stuff like that. But like I'm not into shooters game too much nowadays. And he just made it look so fun. It's like online hide and seek, really extreme. So that's my current like go-to video game right now is Prop Hunt. It's COD.
Yeah, I do love some Call of Duty prop hunt. It's one of my favorite things, and it's just so ridiculous, and I'm really bad at it.
It makes me cackle. I'm kind of good at it, but like when I'm running away, I'm like laughing like a dummy, and I'm like cheesing. I'm like, ah!
It's
especially
funny
when you get to stay in the same spot because you found a really good hiding space, and Taylor's my husband. He's like, you're not moving. I'm like, yeah, because I have a good spot.
Yeah. And just stay there. If nobody's
that's
finding you,
that's the name
you,
of the game.
You.
They're hunting me.
Prop hunt is so much fun, though. And it's so ridiculous. And then when you start seeing things like a wet floor sign running away for no reason, it's just, I don't know. It's a whole thing. For me, this is hard to sum up. And I realize this is a really broad question. What is your favorite video game? I've said this on here a lot, but my favorite video game will always be Halo Reach. If I ever come to a point where I play a video game more than I played Halo Reach, then someone needs to check on me because I spent so much time playing that game. When my first son was born, my entire maternity leave was Halo Reach and taking care of my child, but mostly Halo Reach for that whole 8 weeks. It was just video games. And so I don't know really what it is about that game other than it was really good timing when it came out, but it's a classic to me, and it's one that I replay on a regular basis. But we played it online just an absurd amount of hours when that game came out. So probably I'd be embarrassed to know how much time I actually spent on it. Any other video games you'd mention as, you know, games that are special or games that you really liked?
So I remember having limited games with like the old Nintendo 64. And so of course we did, you know, Super Mario Party 3 specifically. But I randomly loved this tennis game, like playing with it. I still remember like the noise and stuff like that. So when Mario Tennis came out, I felt like I was reliving my childhood again. So like any of like, I mean, of course, Mario Jamboree, we've been playing a lot of it lately too, learning all the new boards, but they're not really new anymore. But pretty much any party games. I mean, one video game that's probably like neglected but is so fun is those Jackbox TV games.
Yeah.
They are such a hit with a big crowd. If we're in the, like at the end of Bible study at our house, we just throw it on, 8 people can play, or like we have people double up if we have a larger crowd of 10. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. We, Mario Party Jamboree is a big one at our house, but I will fully admit Jamboree enrages me because there is no rhyme or reason to why I can beat my kids on every mini game. And then they still come back and they're like, a bonus star, a bonus star, a bonus star. And then they beat me. And the competitive person in me can't live with that because there's no logic to why they just hand out bonus stars.
Well, sometimes they just move the least amount of spaces and come and win the whole game, which is what I did.
Yeah. No,
and it was the best.
That enrages me. And so if you ever want to know what are the things that make Laura angry, it's my kids getting an award for losing the most mini games and then coming back to win the whole game. It doesn't make any sense. And I like to keep my title, you know. We have another friend joining the chat. Alex is here. Alex, you want to say hi?
Hey, everybody.
Alex, we are currently talking about our favorite video game, and then we're going to talk in just a bit about our favorite board games. But what's your favorite video game?
Anything Zelda.
Oh, really. I played the old school Zelda 2 on 64 back in the day. I loved it.
Me too.
It was so good.
My first Zelda game, and I've been hooked.
Any particular Zelda game that you like the best?
I think my all-time favorite, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, is the Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite one.
That's a good choice. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be coming back out on re-release, we think, for Switch 2. So, or at least that's the rumor. And the rumors that I know are what my husband tells me that he saw on the internet. So it's definitely true then. Mm-hmm. But I agree with Zelda. That's an excellent choice. I have a Zelda tattoo because we had a dog named Zelda, and Zelda is one of my great loves growing up too. So Ocarina is a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Any other honorable mentions that you guys would like to share as favorite video games?
I remember like the old Final Fantasy on Xbox. was a big one for me, especially the third one. Not Final Fantasy. I'm thinking, well, I still play that, but Fable, yeah. The three of them for Xbox. And like the third one, you got a dog. That was really, I don't know. I just loved it so much.
I feel like any game where there's a dog involved, and I know for sure nothing bad's going to happen to the dog, that I'm in. Like, if you're just like, this game is about a dog, then I'll play it. And if you give me a dog in the game, then I'll play it. Very easily wooed in that way. Just me. That's okay.
I was like, I just said I liked the dog, but I was trying to think of any other games I played with a dog.
It's probably why I like Pokemon also, because even though it's not like dogs specifically, I'm like, oh, you look like a dog, or you're an animal and you're cute. So, you know, but we've talked about our Pokemon obsessions enough. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
What about board games? Are you guys board game people?
I am. Yeah. I would say I'm more a board game person than a video game person, like out of enjoyment.
What are your favorite board games?
Gosh, probably I like group board games. So we did a lot of Catan, very good at that, especially when they do. I got a little annoyed when they did all the expansion packs because I'm not buying all of that. Absolutely not. And then Ticket to Ride is one of my favorites. Love that game. Anything with strategy, because I'm really good at strategizing. Pandemic. But then I don't play that game as much because my husband let me know that I was playing for everyone because I kept on telling him what to do and how to, because Pandemic, if you don't know, which is I played way more before COVID, and then it kind of was like, how this is crazy how like accurate this game is. Wow. Because in Pandemic, the infestation always first breaks out in China. So I was like, this is, but dense population, it's great. But it was just like so many like, you know, accuracies to the game, but you're pretty much playing as a team against the board. But my husband let me know every time we played, I was kind of a dictator with the team. Shocking, right? And I was like, no, you need to move this. You need to do this. And yeah, so we don't play that one as much, especially not since COVID. Now it's like two. It's like, you're not actually, now that I've lived it, it's not as fun.
There is a, and I know you love sci-fi, Liz, but there's a Star Wars version of the Pandemic game that's really good. And our kids actually really like it too. I like the Pandemic system because it's not complicated. Like it can be, there's strategy involved, but it's not a difficult game to play. I am the kind of person that if I have to read the directions and it's more than like three sentences of instruction, I can't figure it out. I need someone else to explain it to me very, very slowly. So I try with board games, but unless my husband can teach me how to play it.
You're not a big board gamer?
I love board games. I just can't understand the instructions. So I have to like walk through. So, well, I'll come back to mine, but Alex, what are your favorite board games?
I really like Secret Hitler. Have you guys heard that game before?
Oh, yeah, Secret Hitler. Fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different like little versions of the game. My favorite version of Secret Hitler right now is it's called Bang the Dice. And it's the same concept as Secret Hitler. But I do love that game. Yeah, it's like more core games and stuff.
So but, what is it? How do you play it?
It's, or why should people play it? There's two teams. Well, I mean, I think it's fun because it can be a little chaotic depending on who you're playing with, because mm-hmm. you're allowed to lie and stuff in that game. But basically, you have two teams. I already forgot what their names are. But is it like the socialists and... Are they what? What? The good guys and the bad guys, basically. And
got it.
So the bad guys are Hitler. Nobody knows except the bad guys who Hitler is. And Hitler doesn't know who's on his side. And so basically the bad guys are supposed to protect Hitler and like get as many like tokens on the board as they can to win. And so everyone's trying to figure out who Hitler is to either take him out or elect him as either president or chancellor. There's like different roles in the game. It's, I don't know. I'm not really good at explaining. You just got to play it.
It's similar to like the werewolf game too.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like werewolves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I'll have to look for it because the werewolf style game is a lot of fun. And we play that like my theater friends. That's one that we usually play when we have get togethers. I think for me, as far as board game, it's not just board games, but like card games too. So Skip Bo, I grew up playing Skip Bo, and that is a mm-hmm. very competitive game in our house. Spades is a very competitive game in our house as well.
Love Spades.
And it Spades gets violent sometimes. And so it is intense. And there's lots of times where like your partner doesn't do what they're supposed to do, or, you know, somebody does something crazy. But Skip-O especially, that is a game that I grew up playing with my grandmother. And it was a regular game in our house. And now our kids play it. My husband's really into it. And it's just a really simple card game, but it's a lot of fun. And then one thing that just never gets old is Scattergories to me. Have y'all played Scattergories, right?
It's been a minute.
Once or twice.
We played it with our kids a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun. But also seeing how people interpret the categories and make really long leaps for things that you can put down or write is really fun. So those are probably my two favorite, like, not video games and board games just in general. There's a lot of really good collaborative board games nowadays. Pandemic would be an example, but I like kind of the idea of strategizing together and working together. What else? Any other games that you feel like we should mention? Or
I mean, there's Code Names too. There's a lot of different versions of Code Name that's really fun. I'm trying to, like, once again, this is all the stuff we play at small groups. So usually they're like at least 6+ people because it's easier that way. Whatever gets everyone involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bananagram or Scrabbles are classics.
Mm-hmm.
My husband hates Scrabble because he has such a better vocabulary than I do. And he can spell better, but I beat him because it, once again, strategy doesn't really matter.
I love Scrabble, but I get very irritated at Scrabble because I'm usually the person with the big words and then mm-hmm. like I never
doesn't
win.
Matter.
So
doesn't
yeah,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Triple word score and I used a Z for a zoo.
That's perfect. I usually love word games. I like Boggle, like that kind of thing too is a lot of fun. Uno has destroyed relationships mm-hmm. in my life
yep.
because
that's
there's
in my house.
There is something that I learned, okay, that I was not privy to because I was in a family growing up that was like, these are the rules of the game and this is how you play it. And I've discovered that Uno is actually the Wild West because everybody has a different way of playing Uno. Mm-hmm. And when I started working at Lewisburg College, my students introduced me, and I'm really late to the game here, but my students introduced me to stacking. Okay. I had not grown up with stacking, and stacking became a way of extending hostilities towards people that I, you know, had been harboring. You know, you have a student who doesn't do exactly what you want them to do in class. You know, you start stacking numbers on them and suddenly they got 30 cards in their hand. But I made the terrible mistake, per my student's request, of buying the No Mercy Uno. Have y'all played this?
Okay, is that like the spicy Uno type deal?
So I do not recommend, sorry, Uno Company, if you're listening to this, but it has like draw 10 cards in it. And like you can stack Not just like plus twos on top of plus twos. You can stack plus twos and then stack plus fours on top of that, plus sixes, plus eights, plus tens, all the way up to where it could land on somebody and you've given them 40 cards. But if you get more than 25 in your hand, you're out. And I bought this game on our anniversary. My husband and I had our 16th anniversary a couple weeks ago. And I bought this game and I thought we were going to break up on our anniversary because of this game, because of our interpretations of stacking and how you can stack and what that exactly means. So there was some hostilities over Uno, No Mercy. So if you have some people you're mad at and you just want to make them feel really bad about themselves, play No Mercy with them and just stack all the cards.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a rough game. But I've learned a lot about myself also.
No, that's crazy how like everybody has their own way of playing Uno. It's crazy.
It really is. And I have learned that people are very married to their ways of playing Uno. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, my students taught me really quickly about all of the different ways that you can play. And man, they have no mercy themselves. So I do enjoy playing with my students, though. I also think one classic, you know, Battleship. We have a Star Wars Battleship that you just can't go wrong.
We played that back in the day.
Whoa.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if we kept on talking, we can just keep on going and going. Like, as we unlock the vault, more and more games will spill out of our childhood.
It's true. We have like we're one of those families that has like a million board games stacked up in our house, but the amount we've actually played of them is like, so, and I'm sure that as soon as we end this conversation later, I will think of all of the board games I love and none of them are coming to mind now.
We have Pokemon games. Monopoly. You would appreciate that. I saw it at like a yard sale one time and it has all the pieces.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Monopoly is an excellent choice. I have a Zelda Monopoly. And we have a Ghostbusters Monopoly. That's really cool.
Like, I want all the Monopolies, but like, I really, why would we play them all? And it's hard.
Right.
Nowadays, it's hard to find people to play Monopoly with. Like, no one wants to play Monopoly with me. It's very sad. Aww. They just don't. We're like all hustling young adults. Well, I guess I'm just an adult now, but we don't have time. And it's very sad.
You do have to commit yourself to a game like Monopoly. You just never know.
It's a long game.
It is. And no one has that moment. I want one of those board tables where like it kind of like you can have like the indent and you can put like the panels over it. So then maybe we could play Monopoly and kind of like leave it or like do puzzles, because I know it's not a board game, but like puzzles is a whole nother.
That's true.
Avenue of entertainment.
I really want one of those tables. We talked about getting one because we play D&D a lot. And so like having our, I guess that's a game that doesn't fall under board game necessarily, but you know, D&D, you've got all your setup and like your structures and things and your miniatures. So to be able to just kind of close it up and then come back to it would be really awesome.
It would be.
So Liz, you talked a little bit about gaming, like with your small groups and stuff with church. And I'm sure we've had, you know, I grew up having board game nights at church. We actually used to have a spades tournament every year at church, which is where my love for spades started, was in church.
Fun.
But Alex, what about you? Do you have any moments in gaming that were especially meaningful to you, whether it was video games or board games or any kind of gaming?
I would say more, well, yes. Growing up, me and my siblings and my parents, we would have like Friday nights, we would have like Mario nights on like our Wii U. So we would play, you know, the classic Mario game or play Mario Kart, or there was like one other version of Mario. It was something about sports where it had basketball, volleyball. We mainly played the basketball part. Yeah. And we would play that mainly on Friday nights. And that would be like a really fun bonding time. Like I remember I would be laughing so hard, like crying. Mainly because of like just how the game would go. And yeah, and then board games, like bonding with my family too, like we would play spades or Uno. And then in college I would play board games like Exploding Kittens or Secret Hitler or You Got Crabs or all these random board games I've never heard of. I would find and discover through friends I met in college. And then I'm still friends with those people today. So board games and video games kind of have always been like a bonding thing for me.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. That was a big thing for me growing up too, was we would have friends over and we'd play Mario Kart. And Mario Kart was always a thing growing up. And now again, you know, the new Switch 2 is coming out this week, and that's what I'm most excited for, is Mario Kart. And I'll have to come back and give you guys a review of Mario Kart World once I get it this week, which I'm really excited about. But that was there was something about sitting around a TV with two controllers and everybody had to sit, you know, 5 inches away from the TV because that was how long the controllers were. And just sitting there and having that sort of connection was a whole different thing than the way we play nowadays. Liz, what about you? Any other moments that are meaningful that you can think of with gaming, or moments that have stood out to you?
I mean, when my husband and I first started dating, I got the Xbox like 360 Elite, and I thought it was so cool. And my husband had like a Xbox. We would do like online dates because we lived about an hour away from each other. So we went Gears of War dates, and he let me have all the ammo.
Oh, that's so sweet. My husband would never. He would say, go hide in that corner and I'll shoot everything and then I'll tell you when it's safe.
Oh,
it wasn't out of chivalry. It was, he knew I would get us killed. So,
okay.
I am not the best at shooters because like, I just like, I go, ah. So I had a saying, when in doubt, melee out. And it worked really well for me.
I like that. I like that.
Thank you.
See, in Halo, it was always sticky grenades. I knew that no matter what, I could just throw a sticky grenade at someone and then, you know, I'd be good. But yeah, yeah, no. My husband would just be like, you just stay right there. I'll let you know when you can come out.
That's really funny.
Well, let's dive just a little bit deeper. Why do you think it is that people love games so much? I mean, is it the sense of community? Is it this longing for competition and for proving our skills? What do you all think? Maybe it's a little of both.
I think going like super on the further side is for the ones who are addicted. I feel like it is a break from reality, and so they kind of use it as a clutch, which I have done a couple times, of course, specifically with my Game Boy though. And then also like today I do it for community. Like I mainly, that's why board games is over video games in present day. I enjoy getting around, having people laugh, like the friendly competition.
Absolutely. What about you,
Alex? I also enjoy winning.
Winning is great.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to agree. I think it is a little bit of both. I'm not really a competitive gamer. I'm more for community, but I do feel like a lot of people, especially nowadays, with like streaming and things being like up there, it's community, but also like some games do events where it is for competition and rankings and stuff. So I mean, I'm mainly for the community, whether it's board game or, video games. Mm. So,
Yeah, I would say for me too, it's a little bit of both, you know, depending on the situation. My husband and I are trying to start like a video game, or not a video game, but a board game ministry in Rocky Mount where we live, where we just kind of rent out a space and invite people to come and play. And there's no like, you know, we're not like deep diving into religion, but just kind of creating space for people to just fellowship and have board game opportunities and space to meet people where you might not normally have that. So community is a big part of it for me. But then also I am deeply competitive when it comes to board games, and it is not my my best side. So I can get very aggravated. One game that drives me nuts is Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. Have y'all ever played that?
Oh yeah, I enjoy that game.
My sister keeps talking about that game and I've yet to play it.
I think I've drawn blood.
Yeah, same. So like in theory, I love this game, right? Because I know I'm good at it. But what drives me nuts, like the idea is you're going around, you have to say Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza with each card that you're putting down. And if what you put down matches what you've said, you've either got to try to grab the card first, like hit the deck, or there's different gestures. So like, there's like, I can't remember what the other animals are in it, but you've got to like beat your chest or like hit the table or something. And if you do the wrong thing, then, you know, you end up with all of the cards and you can't get rid of your cards. So anyway, something like that. Again, I'm terrible with rules, but my agitation in the game is when you're playing with people who like sort of look at the card before they flip it over. So they know what's on the card, even though it's supposed to be a game of like speed. And so then I get angry. I don't have an anger problem, just only when I'm playing games. But then I get like really frustrated because I'm like, just play the game the way you're supposed to. And it's hard to win when people don't play it right. So that's where my competitive side comes out. And like, Liz, I have drawn blood and I can be very vicious in those kind of games. Like,
I've broken a table playing spoons before.
Man.
I have wrestled. I have come home battered, bruised, but victorious.
I forgot about spoons.
Spoons is no
good. Walked that out of my mind.
Right. Too much childhood trauma associated.
Right.
It's funny though. During the pandemic, my husband and I actually wrote an article for Rethink Church that was published through the Methodist Church about how gaming can be a place to find community, especially in a time when like we couldn't get together at all, right? So we were doing meetups with our churches on Animal Crossing and inviting people to come and like, you know, chat on Discord and like come over to our island and hang out. And that sounds so funny now because, you know, like looking back, that was the only way we could get together with people. And so there's something about finding common space. We talk about like food and gathering around the table in common space, but gaming can be a common space too, right? Like having the opportunity to, especially in collaborative gaming, to work together, to meet some sort of common goal. There's a real beauty in that, I think.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. I have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. All right, guys. See ya.
I'm glad I have a good balance, but I don't even think if I wanted to spend more time in games, I could. Like, yes, I find my attention span is a lot shorter in my adult age, which is kind of like ironic because you would think like attention spans of kids, not that great. But in my adult age, like I started One Piece Odyssey and I heard so much great things about it and I just could not. I spent two 1 hour sessions each playing it. And I was like, you know, I just don't like it. And so, and if I would have played it like 10 years ago, I would have probably never stopped and defeated it in a week. So I think because you have other priorities than gaming, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I get that for sure. I think for me, sometimes if something doesn't catch me immediately, like it has to really catch my attention for me to feel like putting time into it. And if it doesn't catch me immediately, I just kind of,
which is awful because you spend $60 and it's not like he's like, you know, I didn't like the first hour. Can I return it?
Yeah.
No. And if you buy it digitally, you can't even try and resell it.
Right.
I buy all my games digitally because I can't keep up with them.
Yeah. We need to bring back Blockbuster so that, you know, I can rent games and return them or not return them, you know, get late charge.
And then pay double what they're worth.
Your bill is $300 for your game you never returned.
All right, and you end up losing and never finishing it.
Right. No, I was trying to explain to my youngest kid the other day because he wanted me to play Fortnite with him. And I love playing Fortnite with my kids.
I haven't played Fortnite in a hot second.
Well, you know, I have three boys that are, they're all getting ready to have birthdays. So they'll be 14 and 12 and 9. And so they're all in like prime Fortnite age. And I love playing, but my youngest son the other day, like the second I got home from work, he's like, let's play Fortnite. And I'm like, I can't yet. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I need to de-stress before I can play Fortnite. And he's like, but Fortnite is de-stressing. I'm like, nope, I gotta have like the centering, like calm down, get in the headspace. And then once I'm relaxed, I can play Fortnite. Otherwise it's just angry Fortnite. I can't play it. I sound very angry. I'm really not a hostile person. I don't want anybody to be concerned after listening to this. Like Laura just sounds like she has problems. Cause I don't, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Well, what about, you know, thinking about like, even from a theological, philosophical standpoint, are there ways that, that maybe gaming can be a form of fellowship or worship even in the way that we do gaming or introduce gaming?
Well, kind of like you guys, we also had a board game group, small group back in the day. And so that's just a great way for someone to step inside of a church who probably would have never stepped inside of a church ever again. And being able to meet authentic lover of Jesus and like, you know, just a setting, because 9 times out of 10, when I talk to people and they don't like church, it's, they don't like the church as in the building itself. They met 1 or 2 hypocritical people and the whole idea of Christians got developed by 2 or 3 people. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And so that's my favorite thing. I don't even like announce to anyone. Like I think it took 3-4 weeks into my job that I told them I was a pastor's wife. And then it was like 2-3 weeks later, I was like, I'm also a licensed pastor too. And so because I wanted them to get to know me and not a title, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I feel like games in that sense can do it. And as I mean, I play online with COD and all the swearing actually makes me chuckle quite a lot when they're just being really dumb. I think it's funny. And so I don't really like engage with them. I feel like if you were to try and be like, Jesus loves you, then you're going to seem more like a troll than, than anything. But, you know, sometimes when I'm in a, you know, chattative thing, I chit chat, we talk a little bit. It really doesn't point to God any. So that's why I like the small group avenue, because you really need that relationship with a person for them to trust you first, because my 2-minute campaign with someone else, like someone might can get radically saved, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think it's one of the reasons I like games like Dungeons and Dragons, because like you actually have to build relationships in a game like that, right? Like if you're sitting in like a in a full campaign and you're trying to go through a whole story, you're going to spend a lot of time with these other people and you're going to learn a lot about, you know, yourself and how you deal with things. Although I would say my D&D characters are very much the opposite of who I am, because I'm very orderly and I like structure and I like rules, but in D&D I'm chaotic in everything. So like if there's something that can be messed with or fought with, I'm going to fight it in D&D. So I think, you know, from like a relationship standpoint or like even like a church standpoint, it's a great way to be expressive of who we are and maybe even to wrestle with things that we're dealing with, but in a safe space that is just invitational at the same time. Do you guys think that gaming can teach us things like patience or empathy or just how to take care of one another?
I guess empathy a little bit. Some, I do enjoy to win, but if someone is truly upset, you know what I mean? So it depends on the person. So like if I win too much and I know I'm like, oh, okay, I'm being a little obnoxious, I kind of be like, I try and like let other people win. I wouldn't really call that empathy, but that's as close as I can get. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm doing too much. Let's calm down.
That's very relatable, though, because I'm sitting here thinking, what would it be like if the three of us had a board game night together? And
because I would win. Patience is definitely a good thing. Here's the thing. I'm a heckler. So I'm not a sore winner or a sore loser, but I love to heckle in the game and it makes me fun. It makes it fun when I try to like rile people up. But then if I can see someone's taking it personal, I step back real hard, because you always want someone to have a good time. But then in my head, I'm thinking they are weak, but I'll step back.
Oh,
if we're being honest.
It's so funny though, because this is very relatable for me. Mm-hmm. Well, friends, any other thoughts before we approach our wrap up for this session. I don't know.
You know, we haven't even talked about phone games.
Oh, mobile games.
I am a mobile game because on my iPad, like you're doing work and stuff, especially those. I'm going to be honest. There's this one mobile game right now. It's probably the most game I play. It's called Merge something. It's not Merge Mansion. It's like one of those other off thing, like a cafe or something like that. I'll spend $2 to $5 a week on that game.
Dang.
Because I'm like, in my head, I don't get Starbucks every single week. And I'm like, if I have a 30 minutes of entertaining for $2 to $5, I'm like, that's fine. For 30 minutes, it's a pretty good deal.
It's fair. What about you, Alex?
Okay.
No, it's like the little shame I see behind those eyes. What you be playing, Alex?
Listen, don't judge me. All right. I don't play this game much
Royal anymore. Match.
No.
Okay. I'm on level 5,700 in Royal.
I just want to say I blame TikTok for this game that they got me hooked on. Well, not hooked because I had to like detach myself and touch grass. But have you guys heard of the game Love in Deep Space?
No. Should I have?
Okay. Nope. Don't look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
No. And to all the listeners that know what I'm talking about, do not judge me. I blame TikTok because I was only curious. So basically, it's this, I don't even know what kind of game it is, but it's just this game where you're this character and then you meet like these four guys that are really attractive, have all different personalities, and like you just like get to know them, you date them, but there's like this whole,
it's one of those games.
Yeah, but there's this main story, and I only got the game because of the main story. I was like, oh, the story sounds kind of cool because it was like tragedy, loss. She lost like half her family, lost her memories, figure that out. And then like throughout the game, you meet these guys that are part of the story, but they're also turned to love interest. And so like, I was in that game for like 3 months. And after month three, I was like, I need to touch grass today.
I used to be, it's like those, what's it called? Shall we date? What's the official terms for them? It's like, if you do it like the anime type deal, they have an actual game category for them, like the dating ones. But I can't think of what the category's name is.
Yeah. I have gotten sucked into some of those every once in a while. My favorite is when you see the ads and like it starts with like a... like the woman has been kicked out and she's in a house that doesn't have windows and there's no you know, like heat, and like how are you gonna save her life, and then suddenly there's like a fashion show and then you're in a relationship and I don't know what's happening, but they somehow drag you down into the drama and you're like, I'm very invested.
Right. I play, my husband judges me, I'll play the ads.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. But the category is called Otome games. So it's like those dating games of Otome. And
okay. Oh, okay.
Good, yeah, they're very popular. I've played quite a few of them.
That's so funny. There's no judgment here. There's no judgment.
You gotta unlock the happy ending. But like, it's not the happy ending you're thinking of. It's just like a better ending.
And the thing with Love in Deep Space is it's like there's so many things into it that it's like, you don't think you're sucked in until it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too late for me 3 months later. I was like, whoa, I needed to stop this.
It's so funny because I have not really ever been like a mobile gaming person. Like there's some games that I've gotten into over time, like every once in a while, like I'll get into one of those merge games and I start like putting stuff together and you're like, two espressos makes a latte, which doesn't make any sense. But you know, you do all this stuff and you're
merging. And then somehow like make something else that's not even related to coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're suddenly it's a carrot cake and you're like, where did the carrots come from? But it's better not to ask questions. Right. Right. It's a very confusing thing, but you're like, this is fun. And so then it just sort of takes you down with it to wherever it is that you go. I've never really been. The only thing that I got really, really into, and this will shock you all, is Pokemon Go, but I had to delete it because I just get so into it that that's all I do. And then I have to like, again, you know, separate myself for a time, put myself in timeout, basically.
Mm-hmm. I remember when that game came out, that was the time.
It really was.
Yeah, like I remember seeing this one post where this super rare Pokemon spawned in Central Park and the traffic that that caused. Like people were getting out of their cars in the middle of the street and sprinting to Central Park just to get the Pokemon. After I saw that, I was like, maybe I just delete that.
My husband played so much. He got an invitation to go like to downtown Charleston to do like this raid battle, and he got a Mewtwo. And this was like in the beginning where like Mewtwo Whoa. Was super rare. He was, That's he took crazy. Off of work. He was stoked. I was a proud wife.
Wow.
That's so crazy. Now, I remember when it first came out, because our church was super hip, right? And we're like, we're going to create like a gym battle area. Like, I don't remember the word. This is really bad. But anyway, we became like a stop. We became Pokemon Stop and, you know, had like the thing. We're like, we're going to invite people and we're going to sit in lawn chairs and wait till the kids show up to catch Pokemon. Creepy. It is creepy now. We thought it was a good idea then. We're like, we'll sit out with bottles of water and snacks. And
here's the candy and my man, everyone.
Like, oh, man.
Like, don't worry, kids. This is fine. And now that sounds very bad. And I'm like, why did we do that? But, you know, maybe someone found out about Jesus through that. Maybe they ran far from the church. I don't know. But, you know, we tried. So there's lots of ways that you can break that down. But... Well, I'm glad you mentioned the mobile games, because that was something I completely didn't even think about mentioning.
I didn't think about that, yeah.
Great addition.
Got you guys.
Well, we are going to wrap up our time together here for today. So our extra question for our subscribers that we will share is, what's one game you've always wanted to play but haven't yet? And so if you are interested in hearing more about this, be sure to subscribe for $3 a month. I mean, I'm going to mention this again. I don't know what else you can get for $3 in a month, but I'm sure that you're all dying to know the answer to this question. So you're going to go and subscribe right now. Before we close completely, and before we have our bonus question, what is one recommendation you'd like to share today for anything you've been enjoying, whether it's a game, a comic, anime, movie, whatever? What's one thing you've been enjoying lately that you would like to recommend?
Netflix released Bet. It's in the original series, but it's based off of the anime, like the Kakuri Club or something like that. It's about gambling. So if you enjoy the anime, if you enjoy gambling, if you enjoy just a fun, maybe like a little like, this is kind of out there, just go watch it. Please go watch it. It's so, they casted the main character Kimiko so well. Like they did so well with the casting, and the story's a little different. Like they added, like,
is it live action?
It is live action, but they didn't didn't stick to the actual plot of the anime, because the anime is wild, kind of borderline ecchi type deal. So they didn't stick to that, which I appreciate, but they added like a lot of backstory that wasn't in the anime, which I don't think is canon, but it works. I like it. Go watch it.
Alex, what about you? Any recommendations?
Well, I've already seen all the episodes, but my dad just got hooked on My Hero Academia.
Oh, that's fun. I've been reading the manga too, so.
It's very good. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I saw recently that's on Netflix. So hopefully this weekend I'm gonna watch it. But yeah, I recommend that. It's pretty good.
Absolutely. So for like my last several episodes, I have just continuously recommended Dungeon Crawler Carl, and I'm going to stay on the same train because I'm almost done with book 7 and book 8 hasn't come out yet. And that's tragic for me. But if anybody, this is me begging again, if anybody is reading Dungeon Crawler Carl or has listened to the audibles, please let me know so that we can have a conversation about it, because it is so good and so ridiculous. It's lit RPG. It's hilarious, a little inappropriate, but also just a lot of fun. So that's my recommendation. All right, friends, if you have enjoyed this show, and why would you not? Because this was excellent and amazing and so entertaining. But if you're enjoying the show, rate and review us on Podchaser, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. It helps us a whole lot. And a shout out to Jason Vaughn for supporting the show. Remember, you can support us for just $3 a month and get your very own shout out from the host of Systematic Ecology. So what more could you ask for? So thanks for listening, friends. And remember, we all are a chosen people.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our hosts. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
Hi friends, it's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.